broadcasting around the world on International Shortwave and on the Radio Disclosure Radio Network. I'm your host, Matt Aaron. I bid you good evening, good morning, wherever you may be in our universe. I told you that we were going to be starting to follow a story, a COVID-19 related story, of a young man that decided to not return back to school. Actually, the parents made the decision to keep his elderly grandfather out of harm's way of COVID-19. In addition to that, his newborn brother. This story has been repeating in multiple locations around the United States, at multiple school districts. And this is one of truancy. And what's happening is these parents that don't have any recourse to protect themselves or the fear of it. Now, whether or not if COVID-19 is dangerous or not, whether or not if you believe COVID-19 is dangerous or not, we live in the United States of America, and one of the biggest things in the U.S. Constitution is the pursuit of happiness. And more than just that, the laws of our land have been set up to help protect us from situations like this. And I'm really surprised that David Klimkowski, who is going to join us just here in a minute, actually has not filed a lawsuit at this given time with the story that he's going to kind of describe to you. But the good news is we're going to tell you also how to flip this around into a scenario to where you, yourself, if you're in this particular predicament, how you can get out of it. David, welcome to the program. Welcome. Man, where do you want to start on this? We did an official press release on the website. I mean, it's a very long, drawn-out story. It seems to be very stressful. It seemed that you had a lot of stress involved in this, a lot of discomfort trying to figure out how to deal with the situation. Where do you want to start?
I'll start by saying hello, Matt, and hello to all the listeners. And I guess I could just start with the Wilson County school system is horrible at communication. Just giving misinformation, bad advice, and as an education system, they've been really bad at educating parents as to what their options are and how to go about it. So, as you said, we did give out a press release, and when I showed up to truancy court, I had a stack of papers where I tried to make communication to the school. And there were other people that were there in the courtroom with me, and it seemed to be the same story with everyone. And they all had this giant stack of papers where they were all trying to either communicate or they already had doctor's notes. And this is, as far as I go, this is my child's senior year. He has never had any kind of problems like this. He's always been a good student. He's passed every year. And again, with the COVID stuff, yes, there is definitely a concern there, but it was a legitimate concern. And I started to reach out to the school to try to figure out what my options were. And that included going up to their website and emailing from the website. I would call and I'd leave voicemails. It came down to me going to Board of Education, then I ended up going to the adult learning program place, ended up going to the high school. Every one of these places gave me conflicting information, and I was really trying my best to get through all of this through the proper channels, but they ultimately failed in their communication, and it ended up in truancy. And then I ended up in front of a judge in a situation that I've never been in. And obviously that is quite stressful going into something like that blind.
So let's back up for a second, because we investigated this story ourselves as Radio Disclosure. And as we were investigating this, one of the biggest things that we came across is the fact that it seemed to us that the school's due process, which is their process of filing for truancy and so on and so forth, was not followed. I'm reading right here from the Wilson County Board of Education's rules and regulations. And we are in section 600.6.200. When a student accumulates five unexcused absences, a progressive truancy plan shall begin and include the following. Number one, a conference with the student and the student's guardian. Now, was that ever done for you?
No, it was never done. It was never suggested. It was never asked for.
So let me get this straight. You asked for a conference.
Yes.
You went to the school and asked for a conference.
I did.
You went to the Wilson County School Board and asked for a conference.
I did.
That did not happen. Did he already have five unexcused absences at that time?
Yes. Yes, he would have.
Okay. Number two, the student, parent slash guardian, and school administrator or designee will sign an attendance contract based upon the conference. The contract should include the following: a specific description of school's attendance expectation for the student, the period for which the contract is effective, and penalties for additional and alleged school offenses, including disciplinary actions, so on and so forth. Okay. Obviously, none of that happened. Number three, regularly scheduled follow-up meetings to discuss the student's progress. Number four, a school employee shall conduct an individual assessment detailing the reason for a student has been absent for school. The employee may refer the student to counseling, community-based services, or other services to address the student's attendant problem. Or problems is actually what it says. Now, according to their website, if that does not work, we now move to Tier 3, which is basically two paragraphs of describing how they're going to file truancy. 10 unexcused absences will refer. 10 unexcused absences will result in a referral to the Wilson County Juvenile Court for truancy, following the list above. So, in your assessment, David, none of that was followed, correct?
None of that was followed. They skipped all of the initial steps. They skipped attempting to contact me. They skipped returning phone calls and all of it, and just went straight to truancy, straight to court.
Okay. So when did you, as the parent, figure out that you were having truancy files charged? And in addition to that, how did you get that information?
So my son was getting just as frustrated as I was, and he could tell that I was getting really irate with the school system and that I wasn't getting anywhere. So he ended up himself going down to the school board to try to get some more answers himself. And ended up, a gentleman came up to him. I guess a few phone calls were made. A guy came up to him and started talking with him. And when he walked in, he told him that he was filing truancy on him and that we were going to have a court date. And after Brian talked for a little bit, he said that we're moving this up. And I ended up getting a text message from him. And that's how I learned that there was truancy. So I got no letter, nothing in the mail. I got a text message. That's all I got. And that's the only way that I knew that I was, that I even had a court date. So he claimed that there was going to be police that were going to serve me. I never saw police. You know, it's like at the point, okay, so do I need to go down to the police station myself and track this stuff down? I don't want to have any problems with the court system, so obviously I showed up to court.
Now, we're going to get to the court proceedings and kind of what happened here after we do this next break here, coming into the next segment, should I say. But I'm looking here at this text message, and the text message reads, "This is Rick Miller from Wilson County Schools Attendance Office. I have filed truancy charges against you and Brian for him not attending school. Your court date is upcoming Tuesday, September 14th at 1 p.m. It'll be at the Wilson County Criminal Justice Building. The Sheriff's Department will be bringing a subpoena to you today or Monday to appear. The judge's office asked me to tell you as well, so you and Brian would be here. Thanks." Now, in the state of Tennessee, the way subpoenas work, for you to get subpoenaed to go to court, there has to be a certain period of time given from when the subpoena is given to when you can actually force somebody to go to court, because they got to have time to. Yeah. So, again, this is a total complete violation of everything that we hold dear as a country. So, as we continue, Rick filed the subpoena charges based upon Brian's conversation with him. You were not present, so a minor had a meeting, not a conference, because a minor has no legal bearing on whether or not if that can actually be whatever. I don't know. It's just, it's so weird to me. What was your feeling on the school just completely bypassing you as a parent?
It's not right. My due process was completely thrown out the window. And at this point, you know, you gotta have the due process. You gotta have communication. I know that they have my phone number. I know they have my email address. They know my house address. All of that was provided in all of the paperwork that I provided when I enrolled my son in that school. And I've had other calls from other teachers. Just calling to see how Brian was doing. I've had emails from other teachers, so I know they have my contact information.
Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to talk about the second contact you have with the school after you have figured out how to resolve this issue. We're going to keep going down this rabbit hole. Folks, you got a kid that's in public schools in the United States, my advice is get them out. Get them a real education. I'm a believer in education. Our public school system is so full of bureaucracy and bureaucrats, and they can't even follow their own rules. At least that's how I see it. We'll be back. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure, the American school system. We're talking about it. Wilson County, Tennessee, completely violated constitutional rights, their own processes. My hat's off to the bureaucrat that can't follow their own processes. It seems like bureaucrats are good at making rules, but the rules don't apply to them. Welcome back to the show, David. And we're at a point now, and just a quick recap for anybody that's joining us. You had a young man that you and him made the decision he wasn't going to go back to school because you were afraid of COVID. You guys got sick. After you guys got sick, you attempted for 3 total weeks to communicate with the school system. They did not communicate back to you. Rick Miller at the Wilson County School System here in the state of Tennessee went ahead and made the decision to file truancy charges. said the sheriffs were going to show up. Sheriffs did not show up. And you went anyways. And what's the outcome of the court case? Tell us about how the, well, let's back up for a second. I'm sorry. Let's talk about first how you resolved this issue of his education.
I resolved it on my own. The text message from Rick Miller was on Friday. That's when my son had gone over there to try to do this one more time. So again, as a citizen of Wilson County, I was attempting to keep my child in the Wilson County school system. I was trying to keep him there. I was trying to figure out if there was a way to do the online courses that he did take last year. I was trying to get him to take them again this year so that, you know, again, safety of my family. The Thursday before the truancy charges were filed, we had found previously Penn Foster, which is another online accredited school, for Brian to finish out his high school education. And he could do it all online at his own pace and whatnot. So we had actually started the process on Thursday of getting him started with Penn Foster. And Friday we ended up finalizing all of it. And by Monday, he was technically, he would have been ready to take courses on Monday, but the Wilson County school system decided that they were only going to send his transcripts through eighth grade. So they're literally just not, they're not communicating. They're not doing what they need to do.
Mm-hmm. So why would they not send the transcripts for the rest of his schooling?
There's now, one more tick against them. They had my phone number. And they called me. They called me on the phone and told me that Brian had a laptop. And I ended up leaving work, came and got the laptop, and took it straight over to the school. And I physically handed it to his guidance counselor.
So the school has your contact information. We actually have that voicemail that they left you.
Hi there, this is Lisa Smith at Lebanon High School calling for Mr. Klimkowski, and I'm calling regarding Brian. I did receive a records request today from Penn Foster, but wanted to touch base. I can't release his record, his transcript to them until we get his Chromebook and Chromebook charger returned to Lebanon High School. So if you can just get those turned in as soon as possible, we would appreciate it. If you have any questions, 615-444-2484. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Now, mind you, this is the same school system that wanted to file criminal charges because he had not been attending school. And when you have released him from this school, because the school system was not able to help you anymore, was not able to do what they needed for you anymore, was not able to give you, oh, my Lord. And then they won't release the transcripts. And they left you a voicemail. They had your contact information. So, wow, you were asking for a conference prior to all this. Okay. You went to court. What happened when you hit the court systems?
There was, again, like I said at the beginning, there was a couple of other people that were in front of me. And I was watching and I was listening. And this one poor lady, she had been bounced around to three different schools, and they were trying to put her in a school that was really far away from her, from what I understood. I don't know where she lives, but you know, it was far away. And it just didn't make any sense at all. And a lot of it was just, it was COVID related. You know, the young lady had been popped for COVID on a couple of occasions. So she literally hadn't been able to go to school because of the school's rules and regulations. So now this poor girl is there in truancy because the school won't let her come because of contacts with COVID. And I kept seeing this over and over with the people that were in front of me. And it's just, I don't understand how we can continue to let this happen with parents whom are, again, just trying to get their child their education and trying to follow what is needed. So when I finally came up to talk with the judge, Rick Miller was there, and he handed paperwork over to the judge and said that basically that Brian was already enrolled in Penn Foster and that this was no longer an issue. The judge looked at it, looked at the paperwork, and that was that. He pretty much dismissed it immediately. And I was done within a minute and a half. I mean, it's stupid that we have to go through all of this, and then the stress level is just through the roof because you've never been through any of this before. And I just don't think it's right to parents.
Well, it's not just right, just not right to parents. It's also not right to the kids that are just trying to learn. And learning's hard enough in our society today as it is. It's really difficult to get young people really engaged in some kind of educational program, especially at the level of what is being taught today and the continuing dumbing down as well. It's really an issue. And this school system not only failed you, but they also failed your son. And knowing that your son is involved now with Penn Foster, has the ability to learn at his own pace, whether if he wants to learn extremely fast, extremely slow, and he's pretty much guaranteed to graduate at this point on time. Yes. Or early. That's the most important thing. And to me, being an outsider looking at this, I'm really surprised you guys haven't filed a lawsuit at this point, because it's awful. The fact that you yourself, your son, was going back and forth between the school board, the school, sending telephone calls, emails. So he attended school for, what was it, 1 week? Is that correct?
It was probably a week and a half.
And then you guys got sick.
Yes. Yeah.
And you weren't sure at that time if it was COVID or not. There wasn't any local tests available. It became a little difficult to figure out what was going on with that. So afterwards, because of the risk of everybody else in your household, and you made that decision, do you regret making that decision at this time?
No, I do not regret at all looking out for the safety of my family. I don't. And I'd do it again in a heartbeat. I think the only thing that I would do differently, if I knew all of this, I'd stand out in front of the school system with a sign that says these people won't meet with me, and I'd just stand out there until somebody comes and talks to me. Because that's what it's going to take.
What would make you feel better about this situation at this time?
Just seeing my son graduate and being done with the school systems. I mean, that's the only thing that's going to make me feel better at the moment. And he's actively taking courses again. He's in school. He's taking his classes, and he's doing good.
Well, that's the most important thing. That's the most important thing. Now, from an outsider, I think an apology from the Wilson County School Board would probably be what I would be asking for, but I highly doubt that you would see that or get that, because that would admit fault upon their part. One thing that a bureaucrat does not do well is admit that they're wrong. Thank you for being with us, David. We're going to talk to a school expert and come back from the break here. We're going to talk about how bad our education system has gotten. This guy's been in education for over 40 years. You might be surprised on what you'll learn. We'll be back. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. We're having this discussion about the American educational system. In addition to that, we just got done talking to David. And wow, what a story. I have a expert that's joining us, Glenn Pitts from California. Are you in Stockton, California, rumor says?
Yes, sir.
So, from the great state of California, you've been in education for 40 years, and this educational thing that is so important, so vital to our young people, it just seems to me it's going down the tubes. But before we get into that, you've heard the story of David and the whole COVID situation and going to court and they just dismissing it real quick. From an educator, what's your opinion on this story?
Well, I listened to every detail of it, and it was very upsetting to hear that. And it was upsetting to hear that the school system allowed this to happen. Of course, I was siding with David. The whole thing was just, it was wrong. It was a prime example of the typical school administrators running amok. I mean, it's about wielding power over people and having an ego to boost that. And that's what happened here. This guy has a badge, so to speak, and it's heavy, and he knows it. And a lot of people are afraid of the school system. They don't want to buck it because of their kids. They don't know what's going to happen. Little do they know, you know, there's nothing the schools can do to them. But it's very upsetting. I fought this type of thing for 40 years in different aspects. And I was always on the side of the parents. I was always on the side of the kids. I was always anti-administration. How I survived for 40 years, I don't know. But I stuck with the kids. I did what was right. And there was no ego. There was no power. We just did what was right.
So I was making the statement before in the other two segments talking about the bureaucrats making the rules and regulations, and then they can't follow their own rules and regulations because they feel like they're exempt.
The Board of Education is who sets policy. The Board of Trustees, the people that they elect as Board of Trustees, they're the policy makers. The administrators don't make the rules. They follow the rules set by the board. And so we have people of various levels of education, maybe none at all, who are now setting policy for school administrators, teachers, students, parents. And like I say, they just, you know, what are their qualifications to do this?
Yeah. So in the aspect of COVID-19, COVID-19 is a major issue at this point. Most school systems have set policies of 2 weeks to a week of, if you're testing positive for COVID-19, you have to be out. Home tests are hard to come by. A small head cold can be COVID-19. Some people don't have the money to go to the doctor. And if they don't have the money to go to the doctor, they obviously don't have the money to fight the school system. Glenn, listening to David and talking about all the other parents that were in there in that court session, this is a big deal. This is, especially for the parents that are younger, not just younger, let me rephrase that, especially for the parents that don't have the resources to fight this. What do they do?
Well, you know, Matt, I think the most important thing, and I don't think money's a factor here. I think it's knowledge, it's information. If you go into a school setting like this, you go in believing that these people are gods and that you have to bow down to them or else. And if people would educate themselves about the chain of command and what powers they really do or don't have, that's their toolbox, and that's what they don't have. They like I say, they go in and they're told, you will do this, you will do that, and they're afraid to stand up and say, no, I won't.
So in the situation, though, let's say you had someone who had COVID twice, which is a very good possibility in today's world. They could miss up to a month and a semester of school. That's definitely, they're definitely going to get truancy charged on them. What is your suggestion to those parents?
Well, like I said, Matt, they elected the people who set the policies. They need to go back to those people. They need to go to the school board meetings. There's a portion of the meeting where there's public input. They need to utilize that. They need to get up and tell these board members, hey, this is what's going on in our families. This is what's going on in our lives. You people created this situation. You need to rethink it. You need to make changes. The parents have the power to do this, but not necessarily the knowledge, and I don't fault them for that. But if they would just educate themselves on what the power they really do have, they have a lot. And they need to go to these school board meetings, and they need to tell the board members, hey, you've got to do something. You have to make provisions for this COVID thing because it's hurting people.
So I was talking with another friend of mine who was active in going to these meetings and such. And one of the school board meetings of a county here, and I'm not going to shame them on this because it has nothing to do with the county, but this has to do with the level of the parents and what the parents should, what they believe should and should not be done, etc. The conversation was had based upon the vaccinated students and the unvaccinated students about separating them between classes. And in addition to separating these students, they were talking about that the students that have been unvaccinated need to wear badges that show that.
That's discrimination.
And I sat back and I thought, whoo, this, again, that sounds a lot like pre-Nazi Germany. I mean, that's a big deal.
And, absolutely.
And some of the two of the school board members were of the school board immediately shot it down, but it seemed like there was a little bit of traction to that. And the thing that I sit back and I worry about at this point is these people's ability to react to fear, to react to nonsense. In your 40 years of experience, what does that look like? What do you think all of this COVID stuff should look like, and what do you think is actually going to happen?
You know, I don't know how to handle the COVID thing. I don't know that anybody really does. I don't have enough facts to even form an opinion on it. I really don't, you know, I wouldn't know what to suggest to a school board except that, hey, folks, you've got to get together. You've got to figure this out. We're the parents. We elected you. We elected you to set these policies, and we need you to do that. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't have the answers. And like I say, I don't know of anybody who really does.
And see, that's the problem. All of these scenarios, all these things are such an unknown at this point. It is so, yeah, the word unknown, I guess, is the biggest deal here. So,
well, COVID is completely, it has become completely political. And it's like you have the people on the left with their opinions of it. You have the people on the right with their opinions of it. And like I say, it's politically driven. And I'm not leaning either way. It's like, I want to know the truth. And right now, I don't know what the truth is. So to go to a school board and tell them, hey, this is what you got to do, that would be difficult to do. Now, there have been doctors go to school boards and make a presentation on COVID, and the board was very receptive to them and made very intelligent, for a change, decisions on how to handle it. So, and I believe those interviews are on YouTube, that you can see where school boards did listen to people who knew what they were talking about.
So as we continue down this and as we continue down these roads, What is your thoughts? And we're going to talk more about this definitely when we come back from the break. But in a brief summary and synopsis, what is your current thoughts on the educational system of the United States of America as the public educational system goes?
In my opinion, it has gone completely down. It has downgraded. It's failing miserably, and mainly because the schools don't want to teach the three R's anymore. They want to teach social education.
All right. When we come back from the break, I want to touch more on that. Are you good with that, Glenn? Are you able to speak your opinion on that?
Sure. Absolutely.
All right. 1-833-880-9899 is the number if you want to join us. This is Radio Disclosure. Welcome back to Radio Disclosure. 1-833-880-9899 is the number if you want to join us. Glenn Pitts is with us. He's been in education for over 40 years. We just got done talking about the crazy COVID story of David and just the whole just due process just thrown out the window. The Wilson County School Board in the state of Tennessee here just botched this entire thing. It was even thrown out of court. Whole story is on the website. You'll be able to get this in the form of a podcast after the show if you're still interested in it. Welcome back to the show, Glenn. And Glenn, if you were to put a thermometer in the mouth of the public school system in the United States of America, what would its temperature be?
Probably as low as it would go. It's not hot. It's not even warm. It's not alive.
So, okay, you were in education for 40 years. What is the biggest issue? And I know that may be a loaded question, but if you were to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, what's the top five on your list?
I would say it's the curriculum, which is determined by the state in which you live in. It's the curriculum itself. At one time, you went to school to learn how to read, how to write, and to do the four functions of math, add, subtract, multiply, and divide whole numbers, decimals, and fractions. That got you through. You had a good, well-rounded education when you got out with that. Now they're teaching social skills, having to do with racial integration and sexual orientation, and need I go on? I mean, they spend a lot of time. They've discontinued the industrial arts here. They've discontinued the performing arts, the music programs, things that resulted in a well-rounded education has now become a very lopsided catastrophe.
So, okay, for those people that are listening that are younger, 40 years is a long time. And of course you say, well, the systems and the textbooks and stuff that are being chosen today, you're talking about that, but they're still taught math in school. How is it different now than it was then?
It changes. The curriculum is pretty much driven by the publishers of the textbooks. That would be another show in itself. In order to have a textbook that is adopted by the state of California, my state, that's the only way your textbooks can be purchased, if it's adopted by the legislature of California. And how does that happen? Well, we could only wonder. With all the kickbacks and under the table and whatever, how does your textbook get adopted? I saw textbooks in my years that were just absolutely fantastic, and they couldn't get them adopted because they didn't have the social elements that the state wanted in them. Math, it's changed off and on. It gets hot, it gets cold. For a 7-year period here when I was teaching, we lost our textbooks completely. They took our textbooks away, and we were using manipulatives, little plastic cubes and triangles and rectangles and all different kinds of shit. This is how we learned math, by laying little shapes and designs out on our desks. Kids never, for 7 years, kids did not see a book. And that was very disturbing. I actually went out and I acquired a set of textbooks, which I secretly used with the class at the end of the year when they took their test for the end of the year. My class scored higher than anybody else in the whole school, and they never could figure out how that happened, and I never told them.
So, okay. As you step back here for a second and you start talking about them trying to teach social aspects of things, what do you mean by that? Can you get into that further?
Well, sure. I mean, in kindergarten, they're reading books, some with titles like My Two Mommies. So, you know, we have the gay relationships among adults that have kids, and they're taught in school that this is okay, that you can, you know, there's nothing wrong with this. They're taught this at 5 years old. And that's just one example of the social type things they do in the schools.
So just stepping back for a second on that. Now, let's say it like this, okay? Whether if you're pro-homosexual or not pro-homosexual in that sense, it doesn't matter. School is not a place to dictate to anybody what their views and values should be in that aspect. That is a personal choice. That is a family choice. That bothers me.
Well, it upsets me too. And like you say, we have kids from all backgrounds in a classroom, and it's like they're all subjected to the same thing. They're all taught to believe the same thing, and they come from families that have different beliefs.
So, okay. Obviously, a textbook that would be something of Christ or the Bible or something along those lines would not get approved, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And you know, I read on Facebook today, somebody put a very clever line in there that you're not allowed to read the Bible in school, but you can in prison. I saw that today, and that really hit me. Wow, what a statement, and how true.
So what is
You can't read that Bible in the classroom. You have to wait till you go to prison, then you can read it.
So Glenn, if you were a conspiracy theorist, which I don't think you are, but if you were a conspiracy theorist and you were trying to come up with a theory of why we have dumbed down the education system, and that's another thing. Before I ask that question, let me ask you this. In your 40 years of experience, am I correct in assuming that there has been a massive dumbing down?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, there's been a dumbing down. I retired out 5 years early because it was just getting to the point, I can't do this anymore. I can't teach the things you're mandating. I can't do this. I retired out.
So if, and we're going to assume that this is true, the dumbing down. And if you were a conspiracy theorist, and I get to ask my question now, what do you think the reasoning behind this dumbing down is?
My own personal reason?
Sure.
It's demonic.
Can you elaborate some more on that?
it's my feeling and it's my personal opinion that the people who are pushing these agendas are possessed by demons. This isn't godly. This is demonic to teach kids what they're teaching them today. And I don't know about all states, but I know this state, and that's what they're doing here.
So, Glenn, I have a daughter, and one of the things that I have fought strongly against with her is the fact that she will not go dressed in clothing outside in public that I wouldn't want to see my wife in outside of my bedroom. One of the biggest struggles my wife had when we were shopping for my daughter, even when she was 8 to 12 years old, or even younger, was finding clothes that were not too revealing of a girl that's 8 and 12 years old. Now, let's zoom that out for a second, and we start talking about our culture, and you start talking about the darkness surrounding that. It seems to me that our culture has been dumbed down in the acceptance of all these different things of the values that we would have had years ago of, you know, being a little bit more modest with the body. You know, I mean, there were short shorts, but I mean, they weren't worn like they are today. Everybody's wearing short shorts, hot pants. I mean, just go to your local Target or Walmart and there's not much left to the imagination, but that's considered socially accepted. Glenn. I tend to follow you there, but not just on the school system, but overall in culture. I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
The whole culture has gone the way education has. Everything. I would just turn on the news. I have not watched the news. The local or network, I have not watched either one since the election with Donald Trump. Okay, so that gives away my political alignment, but I have not watched the news since then. It's gloom and doom. It's nothing that I stand for, and I just don't want to hear it. So I turn it off.
And we're not talking about you being a conspiracy theorist with the elections and all that, with Trump and all that. I think basically what you're saying is you would like a president in office that does not think that they have enough power, like Joe Biden said, to force you to do something that you may or may not want to, because this is the United States of America and we should have that freedom of choice.
Well, I will say that nobody will ever force me to do something that's against my will. I am an American like you are, and I'm nobody will force me to do anything. I'm a free American, and it's going to be that way. Now, as far as the politics of being a president, I would have voted. In fact, I did. I voted for John F. Kennedy. I thought he was a good president. So, okay, he's a Democrat. I'm not. So it didn't matter. He was a good president. And that, again, that in itself makes another show.
Oh, yeah. Well, Glenn, we thank you so much for joining us, and your views on education from 40 years of experience is one of just massive magnitude. Quick note, we did reach out to the Wilson County Board of Education, and in addition to that, we also reached out to their PR guy, and we sent them multiple emails asking for statements on all the questions, and they declined all comment on that. All they did was they sent us to their policy page, which also showed that they did not follow their actual policies. Quite depressing. If you've got something to disclose to us, call us 1-833-880-9899. That's 1-833-880-9899. Like to say thank you to WTWW, the International Shortwave Station, for covering us, and all of our other local affiliates. This has been Radio Disclosure.